Parakhaf. Where are we up to? We are up to figuring out exactly what the punchline is with the Avos. Right? This far we've worked out that Avram kept Kol HaTorah Kula. We've worked out that there are certain mitzvos that are uniquely connected to the other Avos, so that they kept those mitzvos. And now we're up to the question, this is where we left off, so to what degree did the Avos keep all the mitzvos? Right? Or is that unique to Avram? Okay, so we're going to see actually a very clever is not the nicest word I could use, but it's a very clever presentation of how the Maharal kind of weaves together all the different sources we've seen to come up with a theory of what Avram kept versus what Yitzchak and Yaakov kept. So he begins, V'lo shetomar ki lo kiyem Yitzchak rak mitzvah shchita v'yakov mitzvah Shabbos. I don't want you to think that just because Yitzchak had a unique connection to shchita, like we explained, shchita is midas hadin, it's gvura, it's the midah of Yitzchak, and Yaakov is Kedusha, so Yaakov had Shabbos Kodesh. I don't want you to think, says the Maharal, that they only kept those mitzvos. Again, Shev mitzvos ben enoach plus those mitzvos. Shezeh eino, that's not true at all. Devadai hayu mekaimim shar mitzvos gamken. There you have it, folks. Yitzchak and Yaakov kept the other mitzvos as well. Rak mepnei ki eilu hamitzvos ru'uyim l'kol echad ve'echad mitzad atzmo. But since these particular mitzvos were uniquely connected to them, again, Yitzchak's essence is connected to Shechita, Yaakov's essence is connected to Shabbos Kodesh, so therefore, Dahainu mitzad midasam nechshevet. So that means when Yitzchak kept the mitzvah of Shechita, he kept it not as one who took it on as sort of an added mila, but he took it on as one who was as if, it was as if, nechsheves hamitzvah, as if he was commanded in the mitzvah. And therefore he gets greater reward. What's the rule? The rule is that when you're commanded to do a mitzvah and you do it, you get a greater reward than if what? Than if you choose to do it on your own. So therefore, shchita for Yitzchak was like mitzvah va'osa, commanded and performed. Shabbos for Yaakov was like a mitzvah that was mitzvah va'osa. It was so connected to his essence, it was as if Hashem b'peh mala commanded him to do it. And therefore the reward is greater. Shekasher hu mitzuva min Hashem yisparach. Because when a person is commanded by Hashem to do something, davar zeh yoser b'madrega. That makes that action of greater value. Sharei hi mitzuva min Hashem yisparach, asher rotza v'chafetz shiyasa mitzvah. Why is a mitzvah worth more if God actively commands you to do it? Because Hashem is revealing to you that He wants you to do it. And the fact that Hashem is asking it of you, that means it's significant. V'davar zeh ein safek, says the Maharal. There's no doubt in my mind. Ki ha mitzvah hi yoser b'madrega uv'chashivas kasher hu mechuyav ba. A mitzvah is certainly greater when Hashem commands you to do it. Right? Again, it's a bit of a discussion you would think in terms of a svar. If I were to ask you, is it greater when I do something optional or when I'm asked to do it and I do it? Right? So if I ask my children to, clean up their room and they do it versus doing it on their own. So you might think it's a greater thing when they thought of it on their own, right? One could make such a case. Wow, I'm so proud of you. I didn't even have to ask you when you thought of it on your own to take the initiative. But Chazal are saying the opposite svar. Chazal are saying when you're commanded and you do it, it's greater. Why? Because once it's commanded, then it establishes a bond, a link between the one who's commanding and the one who's doing. Right? It's the person who's issuing the mitzvah, the decree, saying this is important to me. And by responding, you're saying, well, what's important to you is important to me. So it's a broader statement of a relationship, and that's why it's of greater value. In addition to, of course, what Tosfos says in a couple places, which is as soon as you have to do something, you don't want to do it. Right? It's easy to do it when you're not forced to do it. The second you feel like you're supposed to do it, all of a sudden the Yitzhara comes and says, you're not in the mood to do it. Right? It's always easier to opt in when you feel like there's no pressure to have to perform. But says the Maharal, when it's optional, when it's a dvar reshus, it's not as valuable. And that's what the Gemara says in multiple places, one being in Kedushin, and other places as well. Gadol ha-metzuva va'osa, mimi she'eino metzuva va'osa. Greater is the one who's commanded and performs than the one who is not metzuva, is not commanded, and does it nonetheless. V'ein peirusho rak ma'ashamarnu, and the explanation is nothing other than what I've just explained. Ki adavar shu chov, Umochrach hu yoser b'madrega mimasha hu reshus. What a person does when it's expected of them, it's greater than what a person does when it's a choice. Shim lo haya yoser b'madrega lo haya mechuyav. I like the way he says this. Because if it wasn't greater, then Hashem wouldn't ask it. Meaning if it wasn't so important, Hashem wouldn't ask it of you. The fact that Hashem says, Jewish man, wear tefillin, okay, that must be very important to God, right? It must be important to Hashem. That's why Hashem said it. If it wasn't that important, He wouldn't have bothered us with it. He's saying it because it counts, it matters. And therefore, the more I respond to Hashem's asking of me, the more valuable it is. Va'al kol panim yoser yesh maila kasher hamitzvah mechuyavas. O karav l'chiyuv. So therefore, when something is actively commanded or close to commanded, so then it's more valuable. So when Yaakov keeps Shabbos, even though Hashem didn't specifically command Yaakov to keep Shabbos, Yaakov said, I know Hashem programmed me to be a Shabbos dikayid. So when Yaakov keeps Shabbos, he's responding to Hashem. When Yitzchak keeps Shechita, he's responding to Hashem. Why do we emphasize those mitzvahs? Yitzchak kept a lot of mitzvahs. Yeah, but that was the mitzvah. The other mitzvahs he kept as if they were optional. Shechita, Yitzchak said, this God wants me to keep. Yaakov looked at himself and said, Shabbos, Hashem wants me to keep. It's karov l'chiv. It's as if it was commanded. V'yaakov hayemakayim Shabbos, shekach roi l'fi midaso. Yaakov kept Shabbos because he said, that's what Hashem wants from me. Davar zeh karov l'chiv. V'hamadrega yoser b'zeh. Therefore, it's of greater value. V'lakach nechtav eitzel kol echad ve'echad ha-mitzvah re'uya l'fi midaso. So that's why the Midrashim point out, Yitzchak is Shechita and Yaakov is Shabbos. It points out those things which are so linked to the soul of the individual that it's as if they were directly commanded from Hashem. Afal gav shayim makayim in kol ha-mitzvos. Even though it's not to say that Yitzchak only kept that, Yitzchak kept all the mitzvos. He kept everything. Ha-mitzvos ha-elu sh'ramas ha-kosov shayim makayim hayu krovim el-achiyim. But those mitzvos that they kept and that are highlighted or hinted to in Psukim, or highlighted by Chazal, it's because of a deeper connection to those mitzvos. Umadregas elu mitzvos yoser. And therefore the reward, when Yitzchak kept Shechita, was greater. It's as if he was commanded. When Yaakov kept Shabbos, the reward was greater, as if he was commanded. Now, Avraham, the Gemara told us, kept all the mitzvos. Right? So we just learned that all the Avos kept all the mitzvos. So why does it emphasize openly in the Gemara that Avraham, of all three avos, kept all the mitzvos? It must be that what? That while Yitzchak's soul was connected to Shechita, and he opted into everything else, and Yaakov's soul was connected to Shabbos, and he opted into everything else, it must be that what? That Avraham's soul was actually connected to all the mitzvos. Ki lefi midaso shel Avraham roi lasos kol ha-Torah, v'lakach scharo yoser mimasha haya etzel acherim. Avram kept all the mitzvos as if what? As if he was commanded in all the mitzvos. Yitzchak and Yaakov, says the Maharal, and this is his creative explanation. They also kept all the mitzvos, but they kept them in an optional way, except for those specific mitzvos that were linked to their soul. Avram, because Avram's personality is chesed, and like we learned last time, the Torah is a Torah's chesed, that means that everything that Avram practiced was as if he was commanded in it, and therefore his reward is greater for everything that he did. As opposed to the other avos who kept it more in an optional way. Okay? So that's the first distinction between Avram versus Yitzchak and Yaakov. In answer to the question, how many mitzvos did Avram keep? How many mitzvos did Yitzchak and Yaakov keep? The answer is they all kept all the mitzvos. At least mitzvos asay. We're about to make a distinction between asay and los asay. But they all kept all the mitzvos. Avram was the only one who was as if commanded in all the mitzvos. Yitzchak and Yaakov, where they opted into everything, but they were commanded, they found a connection to particular mitzvahs that aligned with their soul. That's all true, again, about mitzvahs asay, but not mitzvahs los asay. Amnam kol zehu b'mitzvahs asay. Everything we just explained to you is with regard to the positive commandments. Why does it make sense to say that Yitzchak and Yaakov opted into the positive commandments? Lefisha mitzvahs asay hi kinyan ma'ilav hashlaba. Because mitzvos asay, we know, refine a person, complete a person, and there's value to them. There's inherent value to them. And therefore Yitzchak and Yaakov, who are focused on acquiring Shlemus, went out to find things that they could do. And they found mitzvos. It wasn't a perfect, you know, perfectly aligned with their soul, the same way that all the mitzvos lined up so perfectly, so seamlessly with Avraham Avinu. But they said, these are good things. And they did them. And it made them better. But mitzvos losa say are not inherently purposeful. Mitzvos losa say are only valuable to the degree that God tells you not to do them. Aval mitzvos losa say, she'ein bahem kinyan maila, klal. Interesting position. Maral says, avoiding a negative doesn't elevate a person. It stops you from becoming a degraded person, from being a lowly person, but it's not a kinyan maila, it's not a madrega. Right? I avoided the thing that if I did it, it would make me tame, it would drag me down, it would make me lowly. Rakshahu mechuyav shelo yaseh. It's something that I'm told not to do. But I don't get, reward from opting into lo saseh. Davar zeh ein bezeh kinyan maila. So for these things, there's no acquisition to be made. Rak imba aveira liyado initzal. If it's a situation where an aveira comes your way, where you're actively tempted and you're saved from that. So for such a thing, mekabel al zeh schar. Right? When a person is actively challenged by a lo saseh and he overcomes it, there's reward for that. That a person can be rewarded for, as it says in the Gemara Kedushin. But mikol makom be'etzem mitzvahs lo saseh ein behem schar. Interesting. But essentially, keeping a lo saseh doesn't generate reward. It just more or less avoids punishment. Ve'im lo hayim mechuyav klal. So therefore, if God doesn't specifically ask you to avoid something, and you choose to, it's not worth anything from a lo saseh perspective. So why would they keep something? Why would they make their life more difficult for no gain? When a person avoids a lo saseh, it's not the same reward as doing a positive commandment. Except in the case where, again, a person is actively tempted. You don't really find getting reward for opting into a lo saseh. What can we use as an example of that? He says, how about women and mitzvos lo saseh that don't apply to them? Right? If a woman is exempt from shaking a lulav, and she chooses to shake a lulav, right? My wife likes to shake a lulav, right? So she gets a mitzvah. It's not as great a mitzvah as one who's obligated to perform that mitzvah, but you can opt into a mitzvah saseh and you gain something from it. According to Ashkenazi tradition, you're allowed to even make a bracha on it, right? Even though it's totally optional, a woman can make a bracha on a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. Sfaradim have a different approach, but the Ashkenazim follow Rabbeinu Tam, which is why my wife makes a bracha on a lulav. She chooses to do that mitzvah. But what if she chooses not to do a lo saseh that is uniquely given to men? So for example, says the Maharal, let's use again women as our test case to see if lo saseis come with schar. V'rayil ezeh hanashim peturos mitzvah saseh shazman grama. So again, a woman who's exempt from a time-bound mitzvah, im makaymos ha-mitzvah yeshla en schar azeh. If a woman opts in, so since it's a positive command, it elevates a person, she gets a reward. K'misha eina mitzvah osa, like the reward of one who is not obligated and chooses to do so. V'esel mitzvahs lo saseh, shanashim peturos. But what about a lo saseh that a woman is exempt from? Im mekaymos ha-mitzvah ein bezeh schar klal. If she chooses to not do that negative thing, you can't opt into that. Ki anashim peturos milatame lemesim. Right? Let's take a female kohen who is allowed to become tame lemes. Right? A male kohen has to be careful not to go to a cemetery, not to come into contact with a dead body. A female kohen, a bas kohen, have that. So let's say she says, I'm taking on that chumrah. It doesn't count for anything. It's not worth anything. Right? It's not your mitzvah. And it's not the type of thing you can opt in. Or bal tokif. Right? Not to round off the... So a woman decides she's growing her payas. Right? She's not going to cut off the corners of her hair. That's not her mitzvah. You can't opt into that. In makaymos ha-mitzvos ein kan schar klal. Opting into a lo saseh doesn't work. Elakamosha amarnu. You don't get reward for fulfilling a lo sase. The kach isa behedya beparakama de kedushin, dahada amrina and yoshev, yashav, velo aver avera, nosnum lo schar kosa mitzvah. That which the Gemara says that when a person sits and avoids an avera, it's as if he did a mitzvah. That's only, as we've explained, kishaba avera liyado venitzel. That's only if he was actively involved in a challenge in that area, right? But simply avoiding something negative, right, doesn't generate positive reward. So therefore, why should Yitzchak and Yaakov keep these things for no reason? To opt into mitzvah saseh, where there's some type of spiritual gain, so it makes sense to opt in. But when it comes to lo saseh, it doesn't make sense for Yitzchak and Yaakov to opt in. Ulefichach, and therefore, Avraham she'elav ru'uya kol ha'Torah kula. Avraham, who we've explained, is a person of chesed, and therefore is in sync with a Torah's chesed, and therefore it's fitting for him to keep the entire Torah. That means the entire Torah. Hayim akayim mitzvah saseh, mitzvah lo saseh. Avraham kept everything, aseh and lo saseh. Ki hayadavar etzlo karov lios chiyuv. Because from Avraham's worldview, it was as if he was obligated in everything, because his whole being was in sync with the Torah. Aval shar avos mitzvos asei hayu mekaymen, but the other avos, they kept the mitzvos asei. Aval mitzvos lo sasei lo hayu mekaymen, but they didn't keep the lo sasei. Why? Acher shelo hayu mechuyavim bedavar. Lama lahem mekaymen? Why should they keep them? What's the point of keeping them if there's nothing to gain from it? Okay, so now we've answered the question twofold. We've explained first all the avos kept the mitzvah saseh. The fact that we emphasize Avraham is because Avraham kept everything as commanded. The avos Yitzchak and Yaakov opted in to the other mitzvahs, with the exception of those mitzvahs which were uniquely connected to them, Shechita and Shabbos. And in terms of lo saseh, the only one who kept all the lo saseh was Avraham, because there's no such thing as opting in to a lo saseh. And therefore, Lakach Yaakov nasa beiz achayos va'amrom dodaso. So therefore, Yaakov married two sisters. That's a lo saseh. Right? Vayikra perak yudches. That's aser. Amram married his aunt. A nephew can't marry his aunt. That's aser. Right? But they didn't keep lo saseh. Ki elu dvarim heim lo saseh. V'kevan shelo hayu mechuyavim lo hayu mekayimim. They weren't obligated and they didn't keep them. There's nothing to gain. Let's go one tiny further step. Because then we're back to one question, which is what? So then why didn't Yaakov lead the benching at the Suda of Lasid Lavo? If you remember, the Gemara in Pesachim said that Yaakov didn't want to lead the benching. He said, because I did an Avera, I married two sisters. According to what we just learned, he didn't do an Avera. He did nothing wrong by marrying two sisters. Right? So what's the pshat? So he says, the Maharal says, if you look in that Gemara, Yaakov lo hayerotza levarech, because he married two sisters, zehu inyan acher. That's something else. What does that mean? Ki Yaakov shenasa bezachayos, yada ki hayeroi sheyisa bezachayos. Yaakov somehow knew that it was part of, and this is a delicate concept, but Yaakov knew that it was part of Hashem's will that he should marry two sisters. Call it a hora'as shah, call it like the Nefesh Chaim calls it an avera lishma, interesting way to refer to it. But there was no question to him that this is what he needed to do. It wasn't by chance, it wasn't a mistake. Yaakov was meant to marry two sisters. It was supposed to be that way, Rachel and Leah. Supposed to be that way. Uvishvil shaya roy Yaakov sheyisa dafka achayos vidavar zeh yeh aser besof. And even though Yaakov was halachically allowed to, and it was a halachic imperative, God wanted him to, but in the end it was going to be aser. Davar zek tzas chisaron mashahayim esugal emuchen ledavar kazeh. The fact that Hashem asked Yaakov to do something, which later when the Torah is given is going to be not proper, the fact that Hashem would select Yaakov to do such a thing is itself a little chisaron. It's very interesting. The fact that Hashem put Yaakov in a situation, which at his time was perfectly kosher, but would one day be considered not proper. So that itself, the fact that Hashem, when he decided who should have, which of the avos should marry two sisters, I pick Yaakov. That itself, the fact that he was picked for that job, is itself a little chisaron. I'll give you an imperfect comparison. But the Zohar tells the story of two Tanayim who were walking one time. And the Zohar talks about a holy kid, this holy Yanuka. And this Yanuka stops the Tanayim and says, I could see you didn't say Kriya Shema today. I could see on your face. You're right. We didn't say Kriya Shema today. How do you know? He says, I could see it on you. I could read your face. I could see that you're missing, right? Like a Kabbalist, you could read, you know, your mitzvahs and averos off your forehead. I could see you didn't say Kriya Shema. So the Tanayim say to this child, this brilliant and holy child, they say, hold on a second. But we didn't say Kriya Shema because we were involved in Kvuras HaMeis. In other words, we had an exemption from saying Shema. So the child says back to them, it's true. It's true. Technically, you were putter from saying Shema. But the fact that Hashem chose you to do something which would stop you from saying Shema is itself a chisaron. It's almost like Hashem doesn't want your Shema. It's a very delicate concept. Right? That Hashem put you in a situation where halachically what you did was fine, but the situation itself is somewhat compromised to the point that, why did Hashem pick me? If Hashem had to put someone in that situation, why me? It almost shows that I'm low enough to do, again, perfectly kosher. Yaakov marrying two sisters was kosher. But why did he pick Yitzchak? Why did Hashem pick me? Yaakov saw that as a small chisaron. Yitzchak, af shahaya mutter, gam kein lisa bezachayos. Yitzchak also could have married two sisters. He wasn't muchan. Hashem didn't push him down that path for whatever reason. That thing which would eventually be asur basof, like he did with Yaakov. It must be that Yaakov was a little bit more, you know, open to that possibility. Again, even though it's perfectly legitimate. But since it was going to be asur in the future, the fact that Yaakov was chosen to engage in such a thing was a little bit of a pagam, and therefore that was enough for Yaakov to say, lo haya rotza levarech, I don't want to lead the benching at the Suda Lasid Lava. Okay, but the Maharal has done a really amazing job at working out the sources. And again, this is not the only shita in how to understand the Avos and the Mitzvos, but it's very well put together. That Avram is Chesed, the Torah is a Torah's Chesed, so Avram is all encompassing, Mitzvos Asay, Mitzvos Los Asay. The other Avos kept all the Mitzvos Asay. The ones that were uniquely connected to their soul, it's as if they were commanded in it, and they didn't opt into lo saseh, because there really is no such thing as opting into lo saseh. And Yaakov saw the fact that he was asked to perform something which would in the future be aser as a small pagam, and that's why he didn't want to lead the benching, lesson level. Okay? We still have a little bit left to this parak, so I guess it's Hashem. Sunday night we'll finish the 20th chapter. Okay, friends. Shkoyach. Questions, comments. It's a good mahalach, no? It works. It definitely works. Okay.